Okay, it's a Monday. It's 6 minutes after 12. You're listening to Vectis Radio. I've got Brandon Langdon in, and we've also just been joined by our MP, Andrew Turner. Morning, Andrew. Or afternoon, Andrew.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Should I call you the Right Honourable Gentleman?
Not the Right Honourable. No, no, I'm not right and I'm not honourable.
I'll tell you what, though, I've got to say to you that I have the utmost respect for you, the way that you handled the situation just after Christmas, when there was a number of other Conservatives tried to oust you, if that's the correct term, and I thought you handled the whole thing with such dignity as well.
Well, I think it's very important when you have arguments that, A, you keep them private. Unfortunately, we didn't succeed in that. And B, that we handle ourselves well and hope the others will as well.
How is it now, though? Because if it was me, if I was sat where you are, I'd be looking over my shoulder. Not because there's lots of noise coming from that door behind you, but, I'd be thinking, well, hang on a minute, there was a bit of noise there. You know, there was some, maybe the media made a lot more of it than there really was, but there was something. So is it all gone away now for sure?
I think it's mostly gone away, and more of it is going away almost daily.
Okay, so are you quiet at the moment, or is this the time when you ramp it up a little bit and you're out and about meeting people and, obviously wanting their vote?
Well, being out and about whenever I'm here on the island, that's very important, and I'm doing that anyway. I'm not asking for people's votes at the moment. I don't think it's right yet, because we haven't yet started the election. The election starts on the 31st of March.
When do you, 31st of March, that is when you're going to ramp it up, and that's when we can expect to see a lot of things happening, a lot of things going on?
You're right, and I'll tell you why I know that it's different, because I cease to be an MP on the 30th of March, and I start being a candidate on the 31st of March.
Okay, so something happens at the big house where it's kind of dissolved, is it?
It's dissolved, yes.
And then from that day onwards, then it's game on.
That's right.
What do you make of people like Nigel Farage saying today that he wouldn't make a very good Prime Minister?
I didn't know he'd said that, but I think he's probably right.
Yeah, well, you would say that, wouldn't you? But I just find that, hang on a minute, is this a game, or do you believe him?
I think I do believe him. He's the sort of politician who says what he means, largely. And he's right, he wouldn't make a very good Prime Minister, because the Prime Minister's job is to cover the whole range of business, from the most important to the least important, whereas they are concentrating on a couple of issues which are very strong, there's no doubt about that, but you can't ignore the rest of the canvas.
Okay, I mean, there's two different stories here. There's local and there's national as well. But just to stick with the national thing, do you see a hung parliament, or do you see David Cameron getting a majority enough to be the Prime Minister?
Well, your guess is as good as mine. I think we will get to the point where we do win, and that may mean that we won't have an overall majority, but I think we will.
And how many, I don't want to keep going, because this is your time, this is Conservative time. When, Farage turns around and says things like, we're going to get 12 to 15 MPs, I look at that and I think, well, hang on a minute, that doesn't fill me with confidence. I thought that they were going to go for a lot more, and now this week he's saying that, today he's saying that he wouldn't make a very good Prime Minister. You just think, well, is there a fight over? Have they done a deal? Or is it something going on? Do you get involved with all these games and saying these kind of things? Do you take it all on board?
Well, it does help if I'd read the morning papers, which I haven't done this morning, because I've had other things to do, including speaking to you. But I think he is beginning to realise that getting a respectable, well, two is respectable, let's be absolutely clear, but he's been pushing beyond 12 or 20, and suddenly it's becoming clear that he might not get 12 or 20 seats. And so he's backing off just slightly, and so it will be a success if he gets three, or success if he gets 12, whereas before we probably thought he might get 20. Now, actually, I don't think many of the candidates from the minor parties, and that includes the Liberals, and it includes the UKIP. I don't think as many of those candidates will get seats this time as have done in the past.
Okay. Well, let's look at the local issue for the time being. Mm. Do you read too much into last year's European elections? Because, obviously, European elections last year on the Isle of Wight, UKIP were very strong, Conservatives were reasonably weak, probably the weakest they've ever been. Is that a concern for you?
Well, it's a concern, yes, because a lot of people who usually vote Conservative have, on this occasion, voted UKIP. A lot of other people have voted UKIP as well. And so what we've got to do, and we are successfully doing it, we've got to make the case that, in the end, there are two possibilities. Two potential prime ministers are there. They are Miliband and Cameron. And we've got to decide which we want.
It's some people would say, and myself included, I'm thinking, it's, you know, I'm not a fan of David Cameron, and I have to say I'm not really bothered about Ed Miliband either. So some people would say it's not much of a choice, is it? So is the system right? Is the system set up to be fair?
Well, I think it is fair. There's no doubt about that. I think the great problem is, are we choosing between two people? Quite apart, of course, from the fact that most of you have no result, no significance at the national level, because you're voting for an MP, and an MP is very different from either Cameron or Miliband. But we feel that we push both vacancies, if you know what I mean, my vacancy and the Prime Minister's vacancy, and what we try to do is make it clear that both of those jobs are, in my case, helped by selecting a Conservative.
Okay. Confident?
Confident, yes.
Right, okay. Ready for some questions?
Go ahead.
We'll start off with a nice easy one from Brandon.
I like how you switched that straight onto me. You. Okay, right. this is quite a weird question. I mean, I always wonder, you know, it's a job title, it's a career. Yeah. Is it fun being an MP or being a candidate for an MP?
Well, yes, it is. There's no doubt about that. I spent some time trying to become a Member of Parliament, and I was fortunate enough to fight the Ireland seat here in 1997, and I lost, and I fought it again in 2001, and I won, and I really do enjoy it. But there's more to it than it being enjoyable. It really is a serious job, and I really enjoy that aspect of it as well. Firstly, because of my role in Parliament, but secondly, and it's almost more important, it's helping people on the island who cannot get decisions made which should be made by the local authority or the NHS or whatever. So two things most important, but I enjoy them, yes.
Okay, 14 years. What's let's highlight some of the best things that you've achieved in the last 14 years. This is you know, when people are going to put the cross down on the 7th of May, is the 7th of May, isn't it? You know, they should remember that you've achieved this. So what can you go back and say, right, well, that was down to me, and that was down to me, and that was down to me as well?
Well, one thing which was down to me was fighting against the closure of the hospital. That was in about 2004, and we had a campaign to save the NHS hospital, and we succeeded, and we got the largest petition I have ever seen, for about 60,000 people on the island supported that, and that was very significant. Other things which I'm doing, well, I think one issue continues to be ferries. We've got to push and continue to push for the ferries to be more effectively run, and that doesn't mean nationalising them, certainly not, but it means getting the responsibility of Whitelink and Redfernal more and more close to what we want.
How do we do that, and how have you been doing? I know that you've had meetings with Redfernal recently. So yes. how is it going, and how do we get what we want from
well,
it?
Well, we're moving in the right direction, and I think the most significant results of the last sort of 6 months are, well, I had a debate in the House of Commons in October, I think. And a minister responded to that, and he said, come and help, come and get these stories through, make it clear what the problems are, explain how difficult it is for islanders to get to the mainland. And he has since then had one meeting with me and colleagues, and another with Claire Perry, who's another member of Parliament.
So, I mean, the meetings are taking place?
They have taken place, yes.
How long do you reckon it will be before we actually, you know, as islanders, and obviously the companies have got to be happy as well.
Yeah.
Do you think there is a happy medium? There is a point where the companies are happy and they're making enough money, and the people that, you know, the Isle of Wight that are using the ferry services, they're going to be happy too? And if so, how far are we away from
well,
it?
Well, I don't think we'll ever be totally happy, let's make that clear. And I don't think one of the companies has just changed very recently, and we're pushing Balfour B2 now rather than Macquarie. So they've got to settle down. But we had hoped that we would have a meeting for the three companies and the two bosses, if you like. So Whitelink, Red Funnel, Hover Travel, and then up one to Balfour Beatty and the one beginning with P, whose name I forget. Those five responsibilities will be there with the minister.
Right.
We're hoping to do that before the election, but it may pass by till after the election.
I think Stuart Blackmore let something slip in, yes, an interview about he may be for a fixed link. Is that something that you would back, or is it a case of we all got to get things on the table and talk about it?
I'm pretty clear on this. It's an issue which is quite popular. It's moving. It's perhaps a bit more popular than it has been, but I don't think there's a majority of people who back it. But we'll see. I think what I'm doing is trying to make the ferries work and work more effectively, and that means not borrowing money and expecting the people from the Isle of Wight to pay it back, but borrow less money and understand what the position is of people from the island and with fares.
Okay, so it's watch this space. You are still going to...
Well, it's always watch this space until we have an announcement, and then we'll make that announcement.
Okay, so over the last 14 years, ferries, hospital, anything else?
I think we've done a fairly effective job by maintaining the popularity of the island, although there's a great deal more can be done, but the amount of money they were getting recently from people who work on the island and encourage people from the mainland to come here, that's a great popular thing as well.
Okay, I know that you had a stroke some years back, and I know that your health struggled for a few years.
Yes.
Every time I see you now, you seem a little bit more like the old you, which is nice to see. It really is. Are you? Can you tell us how old you are?
Yes, 62.
You're only 62. It looks like you've had a paper-round inventor then. You've had a tough old life like me then.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that.
Would you? Are you going to see out, just say for instance, this next term will be a five-year term. Are you going to see out those 5 years?
Oh, yes.
Have you haven't got a plan to sort of bow down after two? You're here for the duration.
Certainly not.
What would happen if you didn't get voted in? Would you leave the island, or do you love
the
island?
One of the benefits members of Parliament have, and even when they're candidates during elections, is to say, I'm not thinking about that, I'm thinking about now.
Sure. Okay, but you're focused on the job, you're going to see it out.
Yeah.
I mean, we've already established that you seem a lot healthier than you did a couple of years ago. How is the health? I mean, it's all very well me saying you look a lot better from the outside, it seems okay, but are you healthy enough? Are you healthy enough to do the job?
Yes, I think I am, yes, because I can, one has to learn to do things in different ways. And one of my difficulties is making speeches. I used to be able to rattle off speeches with no paperwork, no preparation really. And now, if I'm honest, I try to make that clear in advance. I think about it in advance. Somebody else writes a proposals for what I'm going to say, and so on. And so that takes longer than it used to take. But I'll tell you what, it also makes one's press people much happier,
right,
when they know beforehand what I'm going to say, rather than having to listen and hope.
Okay, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And I must admit, we get press releases from you quite often. You've got a good team of people that putting out the press releases. Now, got a question from Dean. Dean says, Ian, there are not anywhere enough smaller dwellings for people to move to. Please ask Mr. Turner how he can justify the bedroom tax when bearing this in mind. Please don't let him give some politician's answer. Get him to address this specific question if you can. Many thanks. That's from Dean.
Well, the fact is, people in private sector housing have to pay. Why should people in public sector housing not pay?
Okay, well, but what about, I mean, are you 100% behind the bedroom tax then?
I believe it's fair, yes.
Because there are probably enough people out there that would probably disagree and say, hang on a minute, I can't move to a smaller place because there aren't any around, so therefore I'm penalised.
Well, that's not strictly true, because of course they can move, or at least they can apply to move. Are they genuinely finding it impossible to find a house, or is it not where they want, not quite the size I want, not quite the shape they want? So there are issues, I agree, and there are issues which we could try much harder to.
But you think this has been going on for a couple of years now,
and, yes, more,
and
more.
one of the major issues is just as simple as that. When they put this in place,
yes,
there wasn't enough places for people to actually move to downsize, and there still
correct.
Isn't.
And
enough.
Now there are more houses of the right size because more small houses are being built. So those things are coming right. They've not come right, but they're coming right.
Not right at the moment, though.
Well, yes, even now, because today...
Well, they can't be, because we have a housing situation on the Isle of Wight that is kind of dreadful. That's why we're having to build X amount of more, and they've only built X amount so far.
Yes, yes.
So we are waiting. So there are apparently 8,000 people that are on a housing list.
I don't think all of those are people who require smaller houses, but let me deal with one issue at a time. There are now more small houses built and being built than was the case.
Okay.
So there are more houses. And also, I think it's quite significant to point out how many people aren't subject to the bedroom tax, as you call it. It's no elderly person is hit by the bedroom tax, no people with care needed in their homes on a 24-hour basis are paying for bedroom tax. So there are issues, I realise, but I think in general it's a fair system.
Do you think it's fair when, I don't want to go on too much about this, but do you think it's fair when you've got people out there that are genuinely hit by the bedroom tax? They have no property available to them to move to. And there are people that are in that situation.
Well, sorry.
You've got two homes.
Well, sorry, I can't understand what you're saying when you suggest that I'm saying that no housing is available. It is available. It's quite frequently available. It may be available today. Different people have to apply, and one of them will win and some of the others won't win, but at least we're moving in the right direction.
That would be fair to say that there will be an element of certain people that can't move because there's nothing available for them to move to.
No, I say there are issues, but they are moving quite rapidly, more and more people. And, of course, the great benefit of a bedroom tax is it's only paid for by those people who are on support. Many of those people are now working again. And so a bedroom tax is only applicable to those not working.
Would it be fair to say, then, before we put this one to bed, would it be fair to say that there are a number of people that are hit in the bedroom tax that are kind of penalised, and the system is unfair too because of there's not enough houses for at the moment?
If people get jobs, that makes them a great deal safer.
Right, okay, but you know that on the Isle of Wight
there's always problems of jobs.
We are an unemployment black spot.
We are not an unemployment black spot. We're an area which has more jobs missing than there are on the mainland, but we are improving the number of jobs issued on the island. That's the great benefit. The whole system is changed from one which the first thing you do is grab some benefit, and now people are understanding they've got to work, and once they work, they won't be penalised in the same ways.
I mean, the facts are that, you know, as media from up and down the country, that's how they report the Isle of Wight when it comes down to unemployment. Well, we're an unemployment black spot, and there was figures released late last year that suggested that our wages were far lower than most of those around us on the south coast. Mm-hmm. So that suggests that we're not doing brilliantly well. We are doing fantastically well in some areas, but there are people that are going to suffer, and some of these people might be, you know, say the bedroom tax peeps who don't have those houses, because those houses are not available. Not everyone is going to be happy with the bedroom tax, and not everyone is going to be happy with the bedroom tax, and it's not their fault. That's the problem, and I say there'll be a number of those people. Is it fair to say that that is the case?
And the question is, how better could you arrange it?
Okay, well, maybe when you go out and about, some people might tell you.
Well, remember, I've heard plenty of suggestions and I've written them off because I don't think they'd work. But yes, I'll certainly listen.
Do you think that it's fair when you've got something like, you know, the bedroom tax, and it's, you know, is it the government penny pinching and then we hear stories of well-known celebrities and banks saying to certain people, you know, if you do your tax this way, you don't have to pay any money. There's major companies in this country that aren't paying any tax. Do you think that, you know, money would be better spent chasing those rather than a few pennies from the poor?
Well, I do think it's worthwhile to do what the government is doing, and that's trying to make people pay a fair tax. Certainly, yes.
You forgot churches as well. Churches don't pay tax.
All right, he's chucked the spanner in the works.
Right, okay. Churches. Well, I wasn't actually aware of that point you made, and I think that we've got to have a tax on the whole range of problems, and one of the problems is that some people have large houses with nobody in them and receiving benefits and being under 60 or so, and on the other hand there are large companies which don't pay, and they've jolly well got to pay, but it's very difficult to persuade people to do so.
Okay, I've got Rich here. It says bog standard question: do you need two homes?
Well, I'm interested in what you say about two homes. What do you think my two homes... What are my two homes? Actually, I own three homes.
Right, OK. Well, there's three homes enough then.
And I only sleep in one of them.
Right, OK.
And I go to a hotel. So I've got two private homes which I use for lettings. Quite a lot of people on the island do that.
OK. Do you need the claim for two of them in? Or do you
No, claim? I don't claim. I claim for one.
You claim for one?
Yes.
OK, we're making that clear then. You claim for one.
That's right.
All right.
And, actually, I don't claim for that one either, because what I claim for is my overnight sleeping when I'm in London.
Right. OK. So you can see why people get kind of frustrated and annoyed, because they look at people like yourself, and they you know, you've got two places to go and put your weary head.
Yes.
And they're getting penalised for having an extra bedroom.
Yes, I can understand that.
You can understand them being a bit...
And my response to that is, I use a hotel when I'm there, and I pay for one bedroom in a hotel. Okay. I don't claim anything else on that.
Okay. Andrew Turner, MP, has been amazingly supportive of our family situation. Mayo is an armed forces veteran. He's been failed by the NHS following a spinal injury. If it wasn't for Andrew and his fabulous team, we wouldn't be where we are today, still fighting for us. So there you go, you've got some support out there.
Thank you.
It's not all bad.
No. I'm quite prepared to believe it's not all bad. In fact, most of it isn't bad.
Okay. Can you please remind the members of Parliament exactly where the Isle of Wight is? Some believe it's in Hampshire. The clue is in the word. And convince them that the island is just that, and get them to give us island status.
Well, there's no such thing as island status. This is a great problem. But
Do you think there should be?
Well, I don't think so. Just imagine for a moment that Portsmouth was an island. Oh, actually, Portsmouth is an island. It's just there's a motorway that goes to it.
Right.
Portsmouth is on an island.
It's surrounded by water.
And it's surrounded by water.
Not all of it, all the way around,
yes,
though.
Yes, all of it.
Is it?
Yes, absolutely. Crikey. The whole, all four sides.
Well, they ought to get it as well.
Well, that's the question. Should they get it, should we get it, or should no one get it?
But because there's a motorway going to it, that connects it up there. We haven't got there,
well,
have
we? You're right. So perhaps we shouldn't help people with roads going to it. Well, that was broadly my view when it came to having a one or two members of parliament. But we've got to decide what we want, and I don't think it's the island status that makes us different on this issue. It's the fact that we are some distance away and we use ferries to get there. Do you see what I mean?
I see what you mean, but I can also see what Mark is saying as well. Mark's in Shanklin at the moment,
yeah,
and you know, he seems to think we should get island status. There's no such thing, but maybe there ought to be.
Yes,
because we are kind of penalised. There's two ways of looking at this. I moved to the Isle of Wight. I had no choice. I was a youngster when I moved there, and I love the Isle of Wight, and I don't really want to move away. Mm. And I do get disgruntled sometimes when people want to change how it is here.
Yes, yes.
But we are kind of penalised quite a bit when it comes down to finances, obviously, jobs and wages and things like that. It's more expensive to leave the island. And if you ever want to go on holiday, it's more expensive than anyone else is. So, you know, some years ago, I organised a march into London, and we talked about not being lumped in with Hampshire statistically.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think that's ever going to happen. But I believe that it should, because I think they should look at the Isle of Wight and think, we're not we're not like special needs, but we are a special case.
Yes, yes.
And I think in certain areas, yes, we are a special case.
And the problem is how you define it. Is it a fact? Is it the fact that it's an island? No, because there are islands with bridges.
Right.
Is it the problem of connectivity, where there are basically three ways in which we can come here? The three routes, and many people would have a link now to the mainland. Well, that will probably lead to one connection rather than three. So would we then be justified in claiming money as well? I don't know. So what I'm saying is we've got to be very clear what it is we are asking for. That's the first issue.
What would you ask for? You're the man in the job at the moment. I've put my trust in you because you're our MP. What do you think we should be doing?
Well, what I'm doing is trying to cut or at least not increase the ferry charges, and if possible reduce them, because that's the key in the costs of the cost of not being linked to the mainland. And so if we could cut the price, cut the cost, then we would get cheaper almost everything that comes in from the mainland.
Will it be though?
Well, what do you mean? Do you mean
will it be cheaper, or will it be a mirage?
Well, either we get it or we don't.
Right.
We will see if we get it, but I think it probably would be fairer, and it would be more likely to follow on from agreement with the ferry companies.
Okay, just I mean, I wonder how many people out there that have been in exactly the same boat, where boat being the operative word, you know, whenever you go on a holiday, you have to pay extra. Yes, we are penalised. Mm. I think, you know, I'd love to see some kind of airport on the island. But how many people have in the last little while, we've ordered something from the mainland and they say, sorry, we don't deliver to the Isle of Wight.
No, I agree, and that's crazy.
And shouldn't that, you know, because that's discrimination, isn't it?
Well, it is. Yes, it is. Yeah, and there's a problem with that. And I've complained on a number of occasions to the Minister of Posts to deal with that sort of thing. What has happened is one post office company called the Post Office will charge nothing extra to send people to send.
I know that there are a lot of decent companies out there that are not doing the extra charge, but there are a lot of companies out there that ain't even delivering to the Isle of Wight because they don't recognise us. Sorry, we don't deliver to mainland or off the mainland, which is kind of sad, and it's a real kick in the teeth.
It is, and it, do you know, once I remember we got a piece of literature published by the Department of Transport about how we get to the island, and the island in question was Portland.
Right, OK. Joe Plum has been in touch. He says, why have you voted strongly against equal gay rights, strongly against allowing marriage between two people of same sex, very strongly for raising England's undergraduate tuition fee cap to £9,000 per year, and very strongly for reducing housing benefit for social tenants deemed to have excess bedrooms, which Labour described as the bedroom tax. You are out of touch, and you need to go, says Joe.
Okay, well,
that's not very supportive.
I think the last point I've dealt with, at least to my satisfaction.
Okay, bedroom tax.
I think when it comes to marriage, I think marriage means marriage of a traditional kind. Now, I know some people would have a different view. It seems that they form the majority at the moment, but that's not going to change my view that it's correct to have a marriage involving two people of opposite sex.
Right. Okay. I mean, there's obviously a lot of people that will agree with you. There's an awful lot of people that will disagree. So what is... what was the term you used?
A traditional.
A traditional... Mm. So what is a traditional household these days? A relationship?
No idea. But talking about a marriage, I think I know what a traditional marriage is.
What is a traditional marriage?
People from the opposite sexes.
Okay. I mean, but the world is changing all the time.
Yes.
Do you think that maybe we ought to change with them?
Well, perhaps we ought to. Perhaps we ought to be in a little lag. Perhaps we would be a bit more advanced. I take the view that we should do what's right, and I feel that is right, being married in a traditional sense.
Okay, well, some people might have been critical of you, and sorry, this is a bit personal, but feel free not to answer. You were in a traditional relationship, if you like, but not in a traditional marriage.
That's correct.
And some people might have said, well, that's not a very good example, because you're like living in sin.
Yes.
Right,
and,
okay.
And yes, I can't deny it.
He's quite pleased about the sin bit, but you know.
Well, it's a fact. I can't deny it. I felt that it was the right thing for us to do, and we did it.
But I don't want to harp too much on, because that's personal. But at the same time, to have an opinion on something that is, judging other people, the way they live their life, and some people might have been judgmental of you, saying, well, hang on a minute, you're our MP, you ought to be setting a better example by not living in sin and maybe married.
Well, I can understand why they are making that point.
And they might even go as far as saying, what gives you the right to judge others then?
Well, the only thing that gives me any right to say anything is the fact that occasionally I have to vote on that matter. Otherwise, I wouldn't be answering that question.
Okay. You've recently voted on there was a thing with babies and two and so on. What was it?
Two parents or three.
See, that's kind of, I can see the fours and against on that one.
Yeah,
but can you just clarify why you actually voted for it?
I voted against it. I felt that the decision to back the proposal was too easily carried by the House of Commons.
Okay.
And we needed more clarity, and we certainly needed a clear view from the churches, and the churches gave a clear view that it's not time right. We're not yet got to the point where you can be absolutely confident that it won't cause damage.
Is it, I mean, when it comes down to it, is it the religion coming into this kind of vote, should it affect the vote?
Well,
should it affect the way you think and look at it?
Well, yes, in my view it should. Other members of parliament took the view that it's nothing to do with religion.
When does religion cross over into politics? Politics and religion should be separate, shouldn't they?
Perhaps they should, but when you consider how many letters you get on a whole range of issues, some of those issues are religion.
Okay. Do you mind if we take a break now?
No,
and you can have a swig of your tea. It's gone probably cold now. We'll take a quick break and we'll come back with more questions. Brandon's got some questions. He's got some more coming in.
Jolly good.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre. Our packages are great value, and we constantly check our prices to ensure we remain competitive against other providers. Call for a chat on 01983 240 240. While You Wait Services is a real Aladdin's Cave in Pyle Street, Newport. A truly local business that offers a fabulous friendly service. Leather repairs, shoe repairs, key cutting for your car, house or shed. In fact, any kind of keys. They're also experts in engraving, house signs, shoe dyeing. They also do zip replacement for that coat you don't want to throw away. A shop for so many uses. While You Wait Services in Pyle Street, Newport. It's the most useful shop in town.
Does your garden need attention? Why not call LCL, Lee Cook Landscaping, to put it right? They are specialists in driveways, patios and paths, brickwork and stonework, decking and furniture, fencing, water features, lawns and planting, and garden maintenance. You can find them at www.lclandscaping.webs.com. Interested in our services? Then get in touch with us via the form on our contact page and we'll get back to you as soon as possible. Or email lclandscaping37@gmail.com. That's lclandscaping37@gmail.com. Lee Cook Landscaping is a high-quality building and landscaping company partnered by D. Rigby Building and Landscaping.
Over 50, health beginning to suffer. Frustrated with those annoying aches and pains as you arise in the morning, but hate the thought of going to the gym. We're helpers on hand. Here at Jeremy Marr's Personal Training, we provide structured health and fitness packages that get results no matter what your starting point. Our service is both friendly and supportive, and we have helped hundreds of island residents enhance their lives. Whether you want to be able to play with your grandchildren, improve your health, have less aches and pains, or look and feel 10 years younger, we have a programme for you. Learn how to start your own health and fitness journey today. Call Jeremy Marr's Personal Training on 58 0008. That's 58 0008.
Now, this is an interesting round. It's called The Fastest Lie. Can you tell me if this is true or false? White Fibre has the fastest broadband speed on the island at up to 120 megabits per second, compared to BT and Sky, who have 76.
So you're saying the island's local provider is faster than the nationals? It's got to be a lie.
It's absolutely true. And that's official. Check out isleofwightspeedtest.com to see what the truth looks like.
White Fibre.
Click whitefibre.com.
White Fibre's half-price everything offer is still on. Super-fast fibre-optic broadband, just £17.40 per month for 6 months, including line rental. Call 240-240 or click whitefibre.com. Blisteringly fast broadband.
Here Estate Agents, independent estate agents covering the Isle of Wight. Call now on 01983 620 062 to take full advantage of our fantastic commission offer of 1%, no VAT. Also, visit our website www.peerestateagents.co.uk to see helpful advice on selling your home and all of our current properties available. Call today to take full advantage of this limited offer. 01983 620 062 or email inquiries@peerestateagents.co.uk.
As the nation's leading first aid charity, we at St John Ambulance believe nobody should die because they needed first aid and didn't get it. Yet only one in five of you would know what to do in the event of an emergency. So why not be the difference in your local community? By volunteering with the St John Ambulance units at either Ryde or Newport, you'll learn life-saving skills which could be the difference between life and death.
Does your garden need attention? Why not call LCL, Lee Cook Landscaping, to put it right? They are specialists in driveways, patios and paths, brickwork and stonework, decking and furniture, fencing, water features, lawns and planting, and garden maintenance. You can find them at www.lclandscaping.webs.com. No job too big or too small. Call today for a free competitive quote on 07964 465 880. That's 07964 465 880. Lee Cook Landscaping is a high-quality building and landscaping company partnered by D. Rigby Building and Landscaping.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Call them on 01983 240 240. That's 01983 240 240.
Okay, and we're back with part two. We've got Brandon Langdon in, and we've also got the MP, Andrew Turner. He's in. Do you answer to the name Andy? Because we were going to say, hi, Andy. No, you don't like that. See, we were just going to wind you up a little bit, but we're not going to go there.
Too
we're,
right.
We're getting
too
on right. Well. You're yeah. Definitely an Andrew.
We are, yes.
Okay. Brandon's got another question for you.
Okay, right. If, say, you know, the election comes up, you get through again.
Yes.
What will you change for the island?
Well, it has to be the ferry fares and arrangements. We've got to get it more frequent, more regular, and preferably lower prices.
More cheaper, yeah. More cheaper, yeah. Definitely.
That's right.
And, you know, how I mean, I know you're having meetings, but do you think realistically that can happen?
I believe that the minister is determined that something will be done. What? Let me explain in a bit more detail. What we want is the ferry companies to work together. So they're not
rivalry,
abolishing competition, because competition is very good, but that on those occasions when it would help for them to be able to work together, they aren't penalised. And that, so you've got to increase competition and make the companies work together.
Now, you mentioned a minister.
Yes. Hayes is the minister.
John Hayes.
Minister of Transport.
Is he a good guy?
He's a very good guy.
Is he a Conservative? Is he on your side?
Yes.
Does it make a difference that he's a Conservative? I mean, just say, for instance, you know, and people should know this, and I'm not going to put ideas in their head, but just say, for instance, if you're no longer the MP and someone else is, are they going to have the same kind of relationship with Mr. Hayes?
Well, no, I don't think they would. I'm sure in due course they become a decent MP, but not yet.
I think
that's my... But look at it in a different way. Look at it with a Labour minister, and we had very good relationships with Labour ministers as well as we do from Conservative ministers.
Okay. Rich Baker says, I would like to know, and this kind of follows on off the back of what we were just been talking about, I'm sure. I would like to know what your plans are to reinvigorate the island's diminishing economy, and whether you have plans to support small businesses and encourage and support self-employment.
Yes and yes, and we've got to press on that, and I believe it's happening. There are more businesses now on the island than there have been in the past.
Okay, so I mean, are you going to become more involved with that? Is it just you know?
Well, there are a number of issues that I do try to work with, but to give you an example, what I usually do is I go in and find out if there's a plan or an issue, and we've got to do more to push it. Sometimes that will involve a meeting with a minister, but sometimes it will mean that they, i.e. people on the island, will have to do more for themselves. And an example of that is technology appointees on the island, where there are not sufficient people looking for training, because we've got to train them more, and we've got to encourage more people of that kind to come and work on the island.
Do you have now a better working relationship with the council? Because obviously before, you know, I don't want to harp on too much about the past, but obviously you didn't have the best relationship with David Pugh. I don't know too many people that did have, but is it a much better relationship now? Are you working with... Because I know that one of the first things that Ian Stevens did when he was elected as council leader was team up with you to go to London for extra funding.
Yes, yes.
So do you have a better relationship with them?
Yes, we do, yes.
So that's kind of working?
It is working, yes.
Okay. How do you see, you know, just say for instance, Ian Stevens is now standing as... Do you look at him, is he a threat? Can he do the job? And if so, when you look over your shoulder and you think, right, out of those other five people, if you don't get the job, who do you think will, and who do you think would be best suited to it?
Well, I'm not going to answer the first point, because I believe I am going to win. And I've forgotten the second point.
So have I now. I'm so shocked with your answer there. Out of all those people, who would, just say for instance, if you didn't win, who would suit the job?
I think the real question is, how well will they do? Will it be good enough to beat me? Possibly not, but that's what I like to believe. But UKIP have the appearance of being energetic in a fairly narrow range of political issues, That means people will regard their votes as being ex-Conservative votes. They're not, but most people believe there's a lot of votes have come from the Conservative Party. Now, actually, I think more Liberal votes will vote for UKIP than Conservative votes. And I'll tell you why, because people who vote Liberal and people who vote UKIP are more or less the same group. They're people who believe that things are wrong and we'll never get it right and we've got to have
turn it on its head almost.
Indeed, yes, that's right.
Do you think that the Lib Dems, I mean, obviously they were your main challenge last time. They got 20 plus thousand,
yeah.
You got 30 odd thousand, and is it fair to say that they are not going to get anywhere near that amount of votes? So if those people are still going to vote, you think they're going to vote UKIP?
I think a number of them will vote UKIP. Okay. Some of them will vote Labour, some of them will vote Green, which are an increasing danger.
Okay, so you're respectful of them all. You know they're all there,
yeah.
But you still think you're going to win.
Confident. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But I'm not confident enough to close my doors and put my feet up.
No, sure. But then, you would be confident. Otherwise, if you weren't, I mean,
yeah.
What we were saying earlier on about Nigel Farage, he's kind of flummoxed me a little bit by saying, I wouldn't make a very good Prime Minister. No, well, why should I vote for you or any of your people then?
Yeah, yeah.
So I wouldn't expect anything less. You know, Andrew Turner says, oh, no, I'm not going to, I don't think I'm going to get in. Or right. I'm very, you're not going to say that, are you?
Okay.
Another question. Phil has a question for you. Why is the House of Commons bar cheaper than Wetherspoons?
Probably because Wetherspoons want to make a profit.
Right, okay. And so, therefore, what are they handing it out free in the other place?
I think they are charging reasonably, but actually, I'm sorry to say, I haven't been into the bar for about 3 months.
Only 3 months? I thought we were going to say 3 years.
Oh, no, no. I'm not that dangerous. But
so, I mean, I know you've got to have some kind of alcohol in there, I guess.
Yes.
But then I think it's a place of work, and that should, yes. And should it be cheaper?
Well,
it's a privilege, isn't it?
The problem is that we have hours which don't make any sense at all to ordinary people. But for us, it's much better that we work until 10 o'clock at night on Mondays, certainly. We have dinner. We have drinks. They're not subsidised, but they are provided there.
Right, okay. Do you agree with the system in there? Should it be a little bit more, hang on a minute, less alcohol?
More professionalism.
More professionalism. Because I'm thinking, I don't want Andrew Turner going up there and voting on something when he's had a few whiskies, and good stuff at that.
Yeah, well, I think people drink far less than they ever used to, but some people like a drink in the evening, some people don't.
I like two or three, Andrew. I'm with you. I mean, yeah. I do, but I'm not working at the time.
No, you're not.
No,
members of Parliament work until 10 o'clock at night, and indeed later sometimes. And so you're trying to make the place a place to work and enjoy yourselves.
Okay. Phil says, churches are charities, so would not pay tax, but I am sure the salaries vicars received would be taxed. That was a point that we made religion. So, Baron Brandon has the final question for you.
Oh, the final one. Why should I vote you, good sir?
Well, I think you should vote for a number of reasons, and vote for me because, firstly, I know what the job involves. And I've known better and better how well the job works over the years. I think we're doing the right thing in a number of areas, such as the European Union, which way we go, migration. There's no control over the number of people coming to the UK from the whole of Europe. We've got to take control of that. Crime is down by about a fifth. We secured a cut in the EU budget. We deliver the best available skills training, much more than there ever was, and so on and so on. The number of people paying tax has reduced by 26 million people. 26 million people. That's a huge cut. And so we're putting the right things first.
Okay, and that's why we should vote for you.
I think that's among the reasons.
Okay, we've got some emails here. Hi, Ian and Andrew. First of all, may I thank Andrew for his letter of congratulations on my 1,000th road safety show. The island may well lose its crossing patrols, yet at the same time, Hampshire advising or advertising to back their crossing patrols and warn motorists of the £1,000 fine or 3 points on their licence if they drive through them. Why does the island view children's safety differently to the mainland UK? Secondly, many years ago I approached Andrew about the failings of the CRB system. This was long before the Jimmy Savile case was brought to light. As a self-employed children's entertainer, I did not have to be or have to have a CRB check. We both campaigned to change this. Now there is the new barring system, which sadly means I still do not have to have a check. Is it now time to review the system for the safety of our children? Two questions there. Crossing patrols, first of all. Why do we see the difference? Why is there a difference to the UK and the Isle of Wight?
It's not UK and the Isle of Wight. It's different county councils and the Isle of Wight. So Hampshire may have one view, the Isle of Wight has another. I think that's probably related to the amount of traffic on the island is rather less than on the mainland. That doesn't account for the whole decision. I think those decisions are decisions which are best made by local councillors there.
Do you have a view on it, though? Are we getting it wrong on the island?
Well, I think the danger is that the payment for this will come from out of schools' budgets, and if they come out of schools' budgets, then they would cease to be... You may well say, well, I'd rather have another historian, or I'd have another... lollipop lady.
I mean, I'd much rather have them safe, and I'd much rather listen to someone that really knows what they're doing. And it just, you know, I think David Randini, this is from David Randini, by the way, is I think he's a decent bloke, and maybe we ought to listen to him and alike. So the other point of the question is, I approached Andrew about the failings of the CRB system long before the Jimmy Savile case was brought to light. We both campaigned to change this. Now that there is a new barring system, which sadly means he still doesn't have to have a check, is it now time to review the system for the safety of our children?
Well, I'll be specific about him, because I think he's a very able person, and he gets on his job. And what he doesn't do, as far as I know, engages any private arrangements when no other adult will be there. I think that's the issue. Is there another adult there? He doesn't, as far as I know, give entertainment without any other adult there.
Okay.
And I can understand why there's no obligation on him to have a CRB check. But I can well understand why he's being more cautious. And in a way, he wants the benefit of this CRB arrangement.
Okay. We've run out of time. I want to thank you very much for coming in and sharing a whole hour with us. And if it's okay with you, I'd like to also point out that you, apart from myself and Brandon, have been in the studio. You've been in the studio by yourself. Don't want to harp on about it, but I just want to make that point, because people will understand what I'm trying to say without me trying to make a big scoring points. And I think it's great to see you. And it's also great to see that your health is improving every time I see you.
Thanks very much.
Which indeed is probably the most important thing.
It is.
Thank you, Andrew, and good luck.
Thank you very much indeed.